Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Supreme Raiders of Resale, living the dream. From whatnot to eBay, we score the loot. Vintage finds in every pursuit. Tips to cash in, stories so grand. Reselling Raiders, rulers of the land. Reselling Raiders, treasure we chase. Hat house fired up, coaching the race. Vintage
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Reselling Raiders, where we talk everything from eBay to whatnot. I am Hat House, joined by Coach Porch and Fired Up Finds. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about bulk buying and also some of the new eBay updates. They just sent out an email today about some curious updates that they had. I want to see what you guys think about that as well. If we can get to everybody on here, there we go.
You know, there we go, dude.
That the perch was Starlink messed up for a second.
Your old Starlink ain't doing so hot out there in Marriott.
Yeah, Coach's Starlink's already down. So we always want to hear from you guys. So make sure you get into the chat because we always do, of course, the giveaway, which we'll hear from Fired Up in just a second what he's going to be giving away. And they're listening to us all over the country on podcasts from Jackson, Mississippi, Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, St. Louis, Missouri, some of our most downloaded places right there. Really appreciate you guys.
All the best places in the world, dude.
For sure. The newest episodes on YouTube are always ad-free. The only thing we ask is you please hit the thumbs up button. We really appreciate that.
It wouldn't be an episode if there wasn't a random sound coming from Rob's side of the room, dude. That is beautiful. Well, we are two and a half minutes in.
Rob is two for two in the first 2 minutes. So, I mean, you're glad you're dealing with a professional on this side because I can get right back into the flow. The newest episodes on YouTube, please make sure and download those and hit the thumbs up. Hit thumbs up. If you heard Rob's faux pas, hit the thumbs up for me, please. And if you're listening to a podcast, it's with a 5-star review. And as always, what helps keep it for the YouTube episodes free is we get a new sponsor every week.
Dude, this week, listen, I had somebody FaceTime me, right? We went right to FaceTime, right? Have you guys ever gotten a FaceTime from a random number before, ever?
No, I wouldn't pick it up, probably.
Okay, I've gotten it, well, three times, right? Two in real life and one just the other day from our sponsor.
Is your phone number like on the stall of the Buc-ee's or something?
Oh, 100%. And it says, it says, call this number if you want a sucky sub. And so of course I pick up, you never know who it's going to be. Right. And it was Spirit Airlines.
No way.
Spirit Airlines. They called and they said, hey, we want to sponsor the pod. And I said, okay. And they said, we want to sponsor the pod. We all get free. Everybody in the chat also gets free flights for the rest of their lives. All right. Here we go. Spirit Airlines, the only airline where you don't buy a ticket, you buy a gamble. You want to get to Vegas? Sure. If the plane doesn't fall apart like a Dollar General vibrator. Our seats, they're like hard plastic. You'll sit upright like you're being interrogated by the FBI. You want leg room? We hope you enjoy spooning the sweaty dude next to you because knees are luxury around here. Snacks? Bitch, we are the snack. You get one tiny cup of dirty water for $40. All right? Our planes, they run on duct tape, nicotine, and the pilot's crippling gambling debt. But hey, we'll get you there. Probably. Spirit Airlines. Because nothing says vacation like PTSD at 30,000 feet. Thank you,
Spirit Airlines. Yes.
Fly high, baby.
They said, listen, this is what they said. I talked to their CEO. They said that the rumor in the news lately is that they are going out of business by 2026. That's what they said. So they said that they wanted the three of us and the large audience of this pod to be able to get their business back on track. And not only would they give us and all of our viewers free flights, but they would also give us our own jet. They'll give us our own jet. Like we'll have our whole own jet. So we won't have anybody to fly it, but like we'll have one. So
the pilot's expensive. And you brought up Vegas too. I saw where like Vegas is in like big trouble now. They can't hardly get anybody out there because everything's so expensive. Like their revenues are down. Like, and I like you can gamble almost any state now, wherever you are. So I don't know. There's a lot of
facts. All you need right there.
Why people aren't going to Vegas, but it's just crazy seeing that they're really hurting to get tourists to Vegas.
Yeah.
Their golf courses are closing.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, they got a big water issue out there, and so they're having trouble having enough water for all the different courses. So obviously some do it better, some do it worse, but they're not getting the players to come out, mainly because it's the temperature of the sun when you're out there. But
I mean, they have the Colorado River that runs like kind of like right by it. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, you know what I just thought about was Trump when he was like, they got water. They had the largest lake.
They got the most beautiful water ever. The most beautiful water ever.
Their golf courses are dying because of a tiny fish.
isn't one of their lakes though, where like it's at the lowest point that it's ever been, and like they found like
lots and lots
of dead bodies or whatever too.
What is that? Lake Mead. That's Lake Mead.
Yeah.
That's Lake Mead in the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
Am I wrong about that? I think so.
That sounds right.
The boys on that Chasing Daylight podcast that they do they're out of Vegas, and so they've been talking about it for like weeks now about how bad things are getting out there.
Awesome. Well,
they're running out of places to play.
I would like to point out the fact that DA drops in the chat, dude, and he immediately goes to the emojis, dude. You're an absolute grail of a human being. I love you.
Not yet, LB. Not yet.
I don't think so. I thought Jimmy Hoffa was under New York Giants Stadium.
That's what I heard.
That was the old mobster, wasn't it?
Jimmy Hoffa. I don't think there's a better theory than that out there. I don't think he's in Lake Mead.
He's probably in Argentina.
South America. Or no, the Arctic Circle. He's down there in the Arctic hanging out.
That's what I'm saying. What did you guys what's up, dude? How was the bins this week? It's my favorite question to ask in the beginning of the pod. Did we hit the bins?
I did not go to the bins. I've got a cool sale from the bins. But we haven't made it to the bins. We just got through almost all the hats. I got them all cleaned, and I got a lot of butts to go through. But
what, I had a thrifting weekend with the wife.
Yeah, dude. Well, dude, wait, let's hear about it.
Okay, so Sunday, she's the only day she's off. Saturday, I had gone thrifting, and then I went
solo.
Solo, because you know I had the show Saturday night, and I'm looking at the rack, and I'm like, damn, that 2XL and that 3XL area is just limited. You know, I'm just I had to do something.
Why didn't you bring in some of your boxes?
Well, I had all the boxes that were in the house were open.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So I went out to try and rescue the show for the 2Xs and the 3Xs. Fantastic day, by the way. But the thing was, my local thrift that I went to in the next town over gave me a 50% off coupon.
Ooh. Ooh.
And Saturday was the last day for the state no sales tax on clothing.
Because of the back to school thing?
Yes, absolutely. So I double dipped on savings. Then Mama wanted to go out. And I said, well, I just sold 102 shirts. I got to have to get them replaced. So we went, and I really went with the anticipation of trying to find more of the big guy stuff because I'm on low again, and then stock up on some lady stuff. And man, we just 50 items out the door under two bills.
Damn, that's really good. Yeah, that is really good. Yeah. Like $4 a shirt, $4 yep. an item. That's solid. That's solid. How many spots did you hit on Saturday?
Just
and Sunday?
One. Well, just it was one? It was actually the same one.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Did you get all shirts, or did you pick up purses and other stuff?
No, we didn't see anything worth picking up other than stuff for the golf show. So,
damn, sure. to be able to go to one spot and get 50 items in the same category is pretty crazy.
Yeah,
because like so I don't
I
even...
noticed. I noticed when I was in the humongous line, because again, it was the last day of sales tax free, which I think is what brought most people in. I was in this gigantic line and the AC was just busted. So it's like 98 degrees in the store with probably 120% humidity. And we're in the line and I'm about two thirds of the way through the line. I could see the corner, the turn to go to the registers. And there was two racks of just Primo shirts. I'm staring at going, shit, I didn't even look at this. So that's what made me go back the next day. But I told you this before. Finding the women's stuff is incredibly difficult. I mean, because there's so much of it, such a variety. But I figured out the code to this specific store. And I literally just walked down a rack picking off ladies' golf shirts.
The code as in like where they kind of hang most of it?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
because the signage would lead you to believe it's something else, but that's right. Where they're mixed into.
Yeah, ladies' sports and athletic stuff is, they put it in all different spots in the thrift.
Oh, yeah.
They don't, it's hard to find.
Well, it's not like with guys where you look at a rack and go, okay, there's a dress shirt. Oh, there's polos right there.
Right.
You know, ladies have t-shirts. So many items that could qualify.
Yeah, that's Amanda finds, like I've said this before, but Amanda finds most of the best men's t-shirts that we get in the women's sections. You know, just being misplaced. Or dude, like today she found a 1993 single stitch liquid blue AOP in the women's section, and it had a green tag on it. So I asked the manager when the green tags came out, and it was last week. So it's been there for an entire week already.
That is,
and crazy. I'm like, you know, you put that in the men, like it in the men's section where it should have been. I mean, that's gone, you know, immediately.
30 minutes.
Yeah,
probably didn't even make it past the rack. Probably got on the wrong rack when it got put out.
Yeah. You know, I think they just look at the patterns or whatever, and it's like a bunch of fishes and all kinds of shit. And they're like, ah, it's girls.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, I found a ladies camo Sunday swagger. You know, that's some niche stuff. That's that Bob Does Sports stuff.
Yeah.
But it's Arctic. It was the Arctic camo, so it's white and gray.
Yeah,
it was over in the guys, but it's definitely a ladies.
Yeah,
right.
It's a large, and it's like this big.
That is wild. Hey, I did forget. Get your comments in. Do whatever you got to do to join the giveaway for tonight, because we're giving Deadstock Drew Pearson snapback. She's a beaut.
So that will maybe hopefully DA will win, because he says he lost his appeal on the 98 football items that he told us about last week.
Wow. No way.
I have never, brother.
That is unreal.
I have never heard of anybody getting like their whole shop taken down, because you know all 98 of those items could possibly have been fake or needing a Vero. That's unreal. So hopefully DA can win that, and he said he put them all onto Mercari.
Hey, Amanda, it's downstairs. Your Bucky's cup is downstairs. It's still in the box by the front door. I told you we literally got it today. Yeah, it's literally downstairs by the front door.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's insane. Hey, DA, there's good news and bad news, right? The bad news is your shit got taken down. The good news is that if you send me pictures of all the hats that you have that are 20 years or older, I'll buy them from you.
Bulk buy.
I was thinking the good news is he has other platforms to outlet them to. So
yeah, I think he's going to put them on
including McCart. Including me. I am also an outlet for him to
sell. Is she yelling at you or is she yelling at me?
She's probably yelling at you, I think. Listen, I get yelled at all day in real life, so you got to take at least one. You got to take one licking over the internet.
It's fair enough. I was very slow to send it out, Amanda. I do apologize.
Since DA had such a bad day, I will give him one nugget that I told y'all guys I was going to hold it back. I wasn't going to talk about it a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't even put it on the bolos. I was like, man, I'll just keep this one to myself. But on Etsy, yep. Etsy is where you need to put those hats. I would put them on Etsy if you want to get some good money for them. I sold that Wayne's World hat. I don't know if you guys know about the Wayne's World hat, but it was a real vintage Wayne's World hat from 1991. Goes for $40 to $50 on eBay. I sold it on Etsy for $75. And I started putting more hats on to Etsy this past couple of weeks. Haven't had another really awesome sale, but I was really impressed with that. And I've sold a few hats over time. If you're okay waiting a little bit longer, Etsy can get you a good sales price. And I wouldn't, Mercari is okay too. It seems like it's a little bit more lowball, but if they're like really good vintage hats, I would think about putting them on Etsy, DA. And I don't think you'll be too disappointed when they do sell, because usually you get pretty good prices.
Yeah, couldn't keep that one to himself.
I couldn't. Had to let the cat out of the bag on that.
Had to let the cat out of the bag, dude.
Two weeks. 2 weeks went by, but I felt bad for DA.
To hold that in.
Yeah. So I had to give DA a little nugget because I felt bad. So there you go. Dude. Etsy does pretty good on the vintage hats. If they're newer hats, of course, you can't put them on there. But so you got vintage ones, that's where I'd go with them. And Poshmark's been okay. I guess I'm just not going to get to sell on Poshmark. Because I got suspended again for the same exact reason. I can't list anything until Saturday because I'm delisting too many items. And they told me, you're done again. You're suspended again for a week. And I didn't delist. I didn't relist anything. The only thing that I did is run my normal business and sold. I guess I sold too much stuff. I sell too much stuff to sell on Poshmark. I guess
you certainly are a rebel, sir.
I know. It's the craziest thing.
Yeah, imagine having the best problem in the world of selling too much that you can't put your stuff on another platform. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Rob? Like, this freaking guy is killing it so hard, dude, that he can't even put his stuff on another platform because it's got to be delisted too much. That's just crazy.
don't know. I mean, to sell like 30 to 40 items a day generally across all of the platforms. And I guess they don't like, I guess they don't like stuff getting delisted that much.
Yeah. But I'm dude, you like, had like a $3,000 weekend, didn't you?
It was two, but
2000,
yeah.
2000.
Dude, it was 2000.
Do you work on the weekends?
Yeah, I continue do mostly. I don't ship. We don't ship. We try to list one of the 2 days. We take one day off from listing, but I try to clean. I do a lot of cleaning on the weekend, and we ship everything on Monday.
Are your weekend days shorter hours because you're not shipping? Are they like a couple hours instead of doing like a full 8 hour day?
It's just I'm really flexible because especially since the boys are in school and going back to band and stuff, it's just whenever I can, I just keep working, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of that way. But
yeah,
Mary demands at least one day off a week. So I got to respect that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Amanda and I said that, well, we're trying to do like Tuesdays being the day off, you know? So that's where I said last week, she pulls the reins back a little. Cause I can get a little pit bullish when it comes to everything.
Oh, it's hard to imagine.
Oh, you know what I mean, dude? But then, dude, this motor don't stop, boy.
I'm just wondering why all your texts, most of your texts come on Tuesday about shit you found.
Dude, because I'm telling you right now, dude, I'm in the freaking on the weekend, I'm in the trenches, dude. I don't have time. Yeah. I don't have time to be posting in the group chat because I'm like, freaking, I'm out here trying to freaking find these deals, dude. Like, I'm saying.
You got to just sometimes you just got to sit back and let the deals come to you.
Yeah, listen, not everybody can be a cool cucumber like you, dude. I have to go out and get it, you know?
Yeah.
That's part of it not being boring for me, though. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure I could figure out a way to, like, you know, just be at home or whatever and, you know, kind of accomplish the same goal. But, you know, dude, I'd go insane, dude. I'd start dyeing my hair or something. You know what I mean? Next pod, I'd have frosted tips or something. You know, like I gotta be out in the world, dude.
What do we gotta do to make that happen? I need to see that.
Need to see some frosted tips.
Frosted tips in my life,
dude. I'm telling you right now, I'm about 3 weeks from just shaving my head bald anyway. So,
are you that hot?
No, it's just like, dude, look at the hairline, dude. You see that right there?
That is quite the mohawk.
Look at this.
That freaking, you see this, dude?
It's not even even.
I just got my shit cut too, man. Well, tied up.
I got the visor on because football's starting.
Dude, I'm not even lying, dude. Half the time I walk around, I look like I'm that freaking dude from Home Alone that gets electrocuted. Not Marv. Oh, it is Marv. Yeah, Marv from freaking Home Alone when he grabs a thing. Dude, that's how I look, dude. I literally look ridiculous. I look ridiculous. And so I'm just like, you know what, dude? I just need to just go for it and just just shave my head. And then that's just how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. You know? So
just low fully convert. You just got to go.
Yeah. I'm honestly just nervous that I have a weird head.
You're in denial.
No, I'm not even in denial. Like, I understand it. I'm just like, dude, what if I have an oddly shaped head?
Well, don't shave it. Just trim it down like with the one.
I can't trim it down with just a one because if you leave a little bit of stubble, then your hairline is like very noticeable. You know what I mean? Like if I'm going to go, it's going to be shaving cream and a razor and gone.
You may want to do the visit first and then do the shaving cream.
Can't you wear a hat anywhere anyways? Can't you wear a hat at work basically too?
No. Yeah, I do. I can wear a hat.
He wears a hat all the time. That's why his head's misshapen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The only time I don't wear a hat is when something in my life requires me to attend it without a hat. Then I have to go get a haircut.
Man wears a hat in the shower.
Dude, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, that's how I wash my hats. That's how I wash my hats. That's what I'm saying, dude. So, whatever. It's part of growing up.
Well, anyway, so that leads us into this week's first thing about finding bulk deals. Sometimes they find you.
Yes, yeah. If you're robbed, they do find
you. Well, I don't think it's just limited just to me. I'm pretty sure people have reached out to both of you as well. But, you know, the cool thing was today I got approached. We have finding bulk deals as our topic. And today I got approached by a guy who wants to, you know what? Coincidentally, this leads back to last week when we were talking about people getting out of reselling. So this is actually another reseller who's retiring and has 2,600 units. Let's just call them golf units. That he's willing to part with at a very steep discount. So the deals are everywhere. You just got to be ready for them.
Do it, Rob.
Oh, it's already done.
Oh, you did do it.
Oh, yeah, it's already done.
Yeah, hey, all he said was, this is what Rob said back. Where do I tell the Brinks truck to back up? That's it. Where do I tell the Brinks truck to pull in? And that's it. You know, like this guy, I will say this. There's two things about bulk deals. In my opinion, there's two big things. Is maybe the biggest thing about bulk deals, in my opinion, is, yeah, that's 100%.
You got to have it to sell it, right? You can't sell what you don't have.
100%. I will say, in my opinion, the biggest thing about bulk deals is making sure that you have the capital for when bulk deals come along, that you're able to actually purchase the deal. You know what I mean? Because, for instance, the guy hits up Rob with 2,600 units, wants, you know, it say just whatever the number is, it's going to be a couple grand. You know what I mean? That's just what it's going to be at least. So you're going to, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where you have this awesome opportunity, but you don't have a way to buy it. So, you know, as you're going through the resale game, you know, everybody's got to put money aside for taxes and for supplies and for new inventory and stuff like that. And, you know, one of the things that we do is like, we always have, you know, a relatively large, basically pile of cash for when people come along with, you know, multi-$1,000 deals that, you know, you're able to buy. So, you know, you don't want to limit yourself on the cash side by constantly reinvesting into smaller, you know, thrift store finds and garage sale finds and stuff like that, which you have to do, but you just have to make sure that you're able to jump on, because a lot of the times the bulk deals, especially if you're able to sell them in the way that the three of us have kind of built on, you know, on whatnot, is, you know, you can sell off a lot of that stuff very quickly. So your money's not going to be tied up for, you know, months or years at a time. So, you know, just making sure that you have that amount of money there is super important. And as far as finding them, I feel like it's just like anything else. You know what I mean? It's literally, if you take all of the same principles as, all the same principles for thrift stores and garage sales and flea markets, which is being out and making connections and always being on the hunt, you're gonna run into the bulk deals. You're gonna run into the bulk deals on Facebook Marketplace. You're gonna run into the bulk deals at your flea market. You're gonna run into the bulk deals, you know, not necessarily at your thrift store, but you're gonna meet the people at the thrift store and the other sellers or whatever it is. And, you know, those are the ways that I have always found bulk deals. It's all word of mouth and on Facebook Marketplace, you know, and then you just connect with those people. And, you know, sometimes when they have a supply that isn't just a one-time thing. So like in Rob's situation, this guy has, you know, a one-time 2,600 piece lot that he wants to sell you. Some people that you'll meet might continually get those large lots of items. And it's worked out okay, where on the first one, the price has maybe been a little bit higher than like I would love. It's still not a bad deal, but the price is a little bit higher. And so usually what I'll do is I'll pay that price. I'll pay that price to make that, you know, to make that relationship.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
And exactly. And so you can't just go into every deal thinking, you know, every piece got to be $2.50. I can't possibly pay more because of the margin. Sometimes with those guys that have that recycling amount of inventory that you're able to go back to multiple times, you can pay a higher price up front I'm not saying get screwed and lose money. I'm just saying you can pay a higher price up front, build that connection, and then as you continue to do business with this person, you know, you can kind of work your way down from there and just tell them, you know, hey, listen, like this is the price that I need stuff at, so on and so forth, and you guys can come to a better deal. But don't be discouraged by, you know, people that are asking a little bit higher of a price in the first time, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And what kind of brought this up for me was I was trying to sell some of my earbuds bulk on Facebook, right? And the amount of frustration that I got trying to sell in bulk with people was really, it was discouraging. I ended up just taking it down. I didn't want to talk to anybody else about possibly buying it. But it's just, I had the exact, if you want to buy 10, this is the price. If you want to buy 10 to 20, this is the price. If you want to buy 25 more, this is the price. And every single time it was, oh, can I get a little bit better deal? Can I always just, and I wasn't priced out. So if I got something for $2 or $3 a piece, and then I take the time to clean it and to verify that it works, and I'm going to pass it on to you, and then you are going to think you're going to get something at the price where something is supposed to be is at that kind of I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but
it's not processed.
Not processed price. If you think you're going to be able to get it at that price and have some perfect unit that's just ready to resell at the same kind of unprocessed price, just it's just not feasible. And could you maybe get a better price later, like you're talking about? I think a lot of people go into bulk deals expecting to have this amazing home run every time. And if you want a consistent relationship, you need to be able to pay up a little bit and start the relationship, exactly what you're saying. And no, every person that I ran into, one, wanted to ask 100 questions about it, and then also wanted a better deal than the good deal that I was already giving them. So it was really tiresome to try to sell it. And I think people are unreasonable a lot of times in trying to buy in bulk. And because you're going to have to take what somebody can't get rid of sometimes. That's going to have to be part of the deal as well. If you're just buying somebody's primo inventory and you're going to get it for $2 a piece, that is pretty rare. You're going to have to bite off a little bit of what you don't want to get that deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything. Yeah, 100%. And like a lot of times when like I've done bulk deals in the past, I'll look at items and think these are the ones that I can make the most money on. And I'll kind of separate them into like making the money and making sure that I can buy them the rest of them at a break even price. You know what I mean? Or a very slight, like, you know, a very slight profit, but you know, you'll look at stuff and you'll be like, okay, 80% of this, I can make some good money on. 20% of it, I just don't want, but I don't want to lose money on that 20 either. So can I get it to a price where I can break even on this 20%? So that way it doesn't take away from all the other stuff that I'm, you know, that I'm at. So, right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And like, that's the thing that we were just talking about is if those same people would have hit you up and said, you know, whatever you were asking, $5, say for, you know, each earbud, whatever, and they would have just bought it. And then the next time, and then you guys probably would have met in a Walmart parking lot and he would have maybe exchanged numbers with you or whatever. And then the next time that you got him, you know what I mean? And maybe he'll buy more and they'll only be $4 or, you know, whatever the price would be. So you're already losing that, you know, like that potential connection, because just because you didn't have a way to sell those specific ones doesn't mean that somebody else doesn't have a way to sell, you know, to right. sell those, whether it's the flea markets or sending them overseas or, you know, you never know what it is. And so, yeah, you know, and like, that's part of the thing too, is you are buying stuff that people aren't able to sell or just have just too much of it. They feel overwhelmed. And if you have a better way to sell it, then, you know, it's not always going to all just be dog shit. Some of it will really, you know, there, you do run into times where everything's really good. Just, you know, there people are trying to sell it in, you know, and not a very efficient way. So, you know, that's where we go back, just like we talked a couple weeks ago about being able to have multiple ways to sell the stuff that you get, you know? And like Steven does a great job of that, not only with all the platforms that he's on, the eBay and the whatnot and Etsy and so on and so forth, but he'll also Facebook Marketplace some stuff. You know what I mean? Like there's also, not everything always has to be in an online setting. You know, there's stuff that you can buy all the time, pressure washers and shit that you're going to sell on Facebook Marketplace.
Don't pigeonhole yourself.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So.
It harkens back to the discussion we all had about the hat boxes. Remember we were talking about, I think if you're seeing a deal in front of you and like you're saying, Mike, you got to identify what you know you can sell, find that in your head, that number, and somehow it's got to incorporate the rest into that number. So then like if you take 8 of the 10 pieces, okay, and sell them off and now you're in the black, you take what's left, bundle it up and sell it at cost, and you're still ahead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you guys know how much you have to sell every single day to make $100,000 a year?
Well, there's 52 $12 weeks a year, there's 360. You got to sell 200 and something dollars, right?
Yeah, it's almost $300. So 300-ish, $273 that you have to sell every day. If you could make $273 a day, then you can make $100,000 a year. If you break it down to what I got to make today, it doesn't seem as overwhelming. And like you said, just hitting whether it's a pressure washer here on Facebook, you could probably sell a couple of those in a week. That takes care of a day. And if you have an eBay account and you make, it's not that, I don't want to say it's not that hard, but.
Well, it's not. It's just about the time you want to put in. Yeah. Nothing about making $100,000, exactly what you're saying, is it's not rocket surgery.
Yeah.
It's not, you know what I mean? It's like you list a bunch of items that are good items that you know sell because you looked at the sell through rate and you're going to sell $300 in profit of those per day and you're going to make $100,000. Like it's that easy. There is no learning about that. It is that simple. It's just, yep. You know, it seems like a long shot because we're thinking, oh, shit, six figures. Oh, you know, that's $300 a day. You know what I mean? Oh, this. And it's like, no, dude. Like, if you just go and look for items that sell really good and they make you $25 every item and then do that 12 times a day, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, that is not, nothing about that is difficult. Like, what's difficult is digging trenches and, you know, doing shit like that. It's easy.
Easy. And that's what, and I kind of go back to, I don't know what they wanted the earbuds for, but I mean, some of them, I think one of them for personal, what's that? I say it all the time too. That's why I wasn't too. I say it to Mary.
It's not, dude. It is not rocket surgery. I'm telling you right now, it's not. Yeah. Like everybody thinks that all this stuff is crazy stuff, dude. It is. It's three things. It is three things. Figure out what sells. Go buy that, and then sell it. That's it. You know, like, dude. You know that. Like, it's not hard. It is not hard. You know what I mean? Is the learning curve a little bit? Do you have to learn? For sure. Absolutely. You know, it's not, you know, if you start reselling tomorrow, are you going to make $300 tomorrow? No, you're not. But if you want to put the effort in, if you want to put $100,000 of effort into it, you're going to get $100,000 of effort out. If you want to go out for 2 hours every day. Huh?
What if you're a surgeon and you try to sell a rocket? Would you make the $300?
Yeah, dude, they know what the hell's going on. You know, it's just like that. It's just all about effort. It's all about effort. And like, you know, you're not going to make full-time money doing part-time shit. You're not, you know what I mean? So like, that's just what it is. You know what I mean?
If
you
want to work 20 hours, say this is a second full-time job.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. Like if you want to put 20 hours a week in, then you're going to make 20 hours a week worth of pay. Like that's just how it goes. You know what I mean? This is the best. This is the best thing that you can do, in my opinion, for very low entry cost, incredible, basically free entry cost, as a matter of fact. And your effort directly corresponds with the amount of money that you make directly. You know, that's, it's just like what you were saying when I asked you about Walmart the other day, or last week, that your effort did not directly correlate to the amount of money that you made. You could be the shit bag at Walmart, or you could be the best manager ever at Walmart. And guess what? They're going to make the same amount of money. Basically, this is not, you could be the worst reseller in the history of the world and make $4 a year, or you could be really, really good at it and make a million. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know that we could say for a fact that the effort is what, I mean, there's got to be some intelligence to it as well, because you could work your ass off and sell the wrong widgets and not make a dime.
Then that barrier to entry has definitely come down with the AI and just the ability to look things up and to get more information, I think. And that's so bad for some people. But
yeah. But like, Rob, what I would say to that, and this is honest, is I would say if you're trying to sell the wrong thing, it's because you have not put in the effort. That's what I would say. I would say you have not put in the effort to do your proper research to figure out why this thing sucks and why you should be, you know, going out and finding better stuff. Like that to me is effort. You know, if anybody comes to me and says my sales suck and, you know, I'm trying to sell bullshit, I would say you're not trying hard to learn the game. You know, you're thinking that you can go out and buy Starbucks mugs and everyone's going to be worth $100.
I couldn't imagine not being able to sit at the bins for like 6 or 7 hours and not be able to find $300 in profit.
Insane
to sit there because and not be able to find it.
You have guys at the bin. I don't know how much you probably don't talk to them that much, right? I think you've made it clear that you're not the biggest, like, go and make friends with everybody. But but there are people that are there, though, that will be there all day, because it happens in my bins. It happens in my bins and my stores and everything. And they'll sit there all day and they have two things and they're like, oh, worst day at the bins ever. You know, we're horrible. But it's like, bro, all the time that you've stood there, right, waiting for the next rotation or whatever, you could be picking up every fucking piece of clothing and shoe ever and looking it up. And next thing you know, you do that for 6 months straight and now you know a bunch. And now every time you're walking out of the bins, you're walking out with 60 really good items, because that's how much stuff there is that people just don't know about, because nobody wants to put in the effort to go and learn about. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. That's just what it is.
They want to stay nailed down to their niche so bad. Like Vintage Bros. I just don't understand. If they're full time and they just won't pick up other stuff besides vintage stuff that is worth hundreds of dollars, I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. I could never just sit there. The only time I ever pass on anything is if it's going to be too hard to ship. And then I might pass on it, and I don't want to sell it locally. But if there's $100 in profit sitting there, I'm probably going to pick it up, especially if it can fit in a box and I can ship it. There's no reason. Yeah,
that's just I know. I say the same stuff, dude. I'm like, you know, there's a lot of people that are really, really, really good at a certain thing. And if you're really, really good at a certain thing, then stick with it. But, you know, if it gets to a point, you know, that you could still be really good at it and just not, you know, not find enough or whatever. But, you know, there's always, if you're an expert in something, then you'll know when to go on, you know, eBay or whatever and be able to snipe that t-shirt because you've sold it before for $200 and somebody has it listed for 40. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's just, yeah, I just think everything is so much about effort, and you just see so many people complaining about stuff all the time. And it's, you know, go back to just, you're not trying hard enough. That's it. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think that somewhat goes back to what we talked about last week with people burning out. And I don't know that it would really classify as burnout, but they're flaming out. Again, another reseller, and you guys hear me say it all the time. People come on to Whatnot in the golf category and think they're just going to make it big, and they don't realize the amount of effort that it takes to do it properly. And I've, you know, been approached by many resellers in that category saying, just won this week. Hey, I'm getting out of the game. It's just not working out. And for whatever reason. And then, you know, they offer you, hey, do you want to buy out my inventory at a steep discount? And you're like, okay, well, what do you got? And it's just nothing that I would even contemplate putting in one of my shows.
Yeah. And then, I had a guy. Sorry.
You can't just pick up a shirt and say, it's a golf shirt. Let's sell it. Uh-huh. You know?
Yeah.
You gotta do the due diligence.
I had a guy at my flea market and he's a buddy of mine. It has nothing to do with him being like a bad person or anything, but he sees me pick up, like, you know, basically all the guys that I roll with at the flea market, they know I do golf as well. So when they find golf stuff, they literally will just buy it for me. And then whenever I see them throughout that day or whatever, they'll be like, hey, I picked up a bunch of stuff for you. So, and normally it's usually does pretty good, but a guy decided he was going to sell golf stuff on Whatnot. And I was like, dude, I was like, do it. You know, I'm never going to discourage anybody from, you know, jumping into a category or a platform or whatever that I also do myself. I'm like, there's room for everybody, you know? But, you know, I was like, after you try to, you know, high dollar start some, Ben Hogan's and, you know, Whatnot, some stained bank.
$15.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and I mean, it's brand new from the store, $15, you know? So it's like, he realized it just wasn't as easy. Yeah. You know, he just realized it wasn't as easy as you think. And it's not that it's not easy. It's just that you haven't put in the time to learn about what people want, you know? And part of that is going on there and doing that $10 Ben Hogan. You know what I mean? Like part of that, that's part of learning too, because you're like, oh shit. Okay. People, you know, I learned that with Polo Golf. Dude, people hate Polo Golf. I don't know why, but they do. And I mean, unless it has something cool on it, but if it's just a normal Polo Ralph Lauren golf, every time I've ran it, it's the worst thing ever. Right. It's like nobody bids, whatever.
You can't run that in the golf category.
You can't,
but you can run it in the men's fashion category though. And it will sell like hotcakes.
So those or Columbia Golf, right? I picked up some Columbia Golf polos and I realized quickly, nobody wants that shit. So, you know what I mean? And it's not, and that's just, and I just had to learn, you know what I mean? And that's fine. But, you know, you're not just going to jump in and, you know, shoot to the moon. Like, unless you have some incredible inventory because you already have previous knowledge of the category, then, you know, you're not going to take off like a rocket ship.
Yeah, DA brought up a point about somebody buying Dollar General pallets. I couldn't imagine what is all the junk that's in a Dollar General pallet.
Think of all the junk that's in the Dollar General and then the shit that didn't make the stores on the pallet.
That's gotta be horrible.
Oh my
that's
God. That's
gotta be horrible.
Could you imagine? It's like,
hey, do you guys want fidget spinner?
Fidget spinner.
Any bearings in it.
Oh, dude, I wonder what he paid. Oh yeah, dude, there's popcorn and freaking like
those lipstick lollipops. I can just imagine like 300 of those being in there.
I wonder what he paid for that. Like it's just you're right. It's a horrible business plan. You know,
he paid a dollar.
Like he paid a dollar for all that. Oh, I get it. It's Dollar General. You're a real shithead. You're a real shithead for that.
And when I brought up the selling, your coach said he's doing some research on how to get a hold of some pallets, and it's like the most closely guarded secret.
Isn't it in
the entire reselling world is where to get good quality pallets. I don't know that. I mean, I'm not going to ever probably slip up and somebody say where they got the most awesome pallet from. Because it's just once somebody finds it, they're not going to let go of where it is. And I don't know that they make, I don't know how much they're making on the pallets. I'm sure they're spending $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 on a pallet.
I would imagine
from whether it's like Dick's Sporting, if I could find a Dick's Sporting Goods pallet, that'd be pretty awesome. Or whatever retailer you want to insert.
There's got to be at least 20 shows selling Dick's Sport Goods pallets now.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, Absolutely.
And they got to be like $4 to $6, I would assume, in per piece on those. I don't know what they're going for. You would have to run that show so many times to get the base.
My wife watches. My wife watches a lady that does Target palettes. A lot of Target palettes. Well, she does well enough that she has wings. So,
yeah, I bet those do well because you know the girlies are all about some Target.
She has a steady amount of people in there, and they're always swiping. But then she came across this one lady that had gotten. I forget what the hell she said, but this one lady, she was selling, what was it, a TJ Maxx palette? Something along those lines. Well-known store, but her and like four other sellers bought an entire tractor trailer full. And I think she got 10 pallets of it. And I'm like, she's selling out of a garage, her garage apparently. And I'm like, where in the hell are you putting 10 pallets?
She has a 9-car garage. It's a whole house, actually. Just a garage.
I have no idea. Yeah, it's just a garage. Yeah. No idea. No clue. I mean, it's like, you know, looks can be deceiving. Like I know a golf seller that sells out of his garage, and it looks like it's freaking huge. And it's literally probably about the same size as what I'm in right now. Because you don't get to see everything. So if she's got a 2-car garage, if there's no car in there, I'm assuming you could line some pallets up on the other side.
On this side. A small sidetrack, because this actually just cracks me up. My grandparents are in town from Texas. They leave tomorrow. So they wanted to come over here and see the office before they left. So right before the pod, like 20 minutes before the pod, I brought them over here because they're just staying at an RV park right down the road. And my grandma walks in. And she goes, you know, this, it looked really nice on the live streams. I said, Grandma, what is that supposed to mean?
Grandma's saying, get your shit together. That's her nice way of saying.
Dude, it was so funny, dude. I was like, what is that supposed to mean? She was like, no, she's like, it's nice. She's like, I can only see, you know, she only sees
right, that, when that you stream, corner you're back only there. You're only in the back there when you stream.
She doesn't see all the shit. There's like a massive beanbag over here. Dude, it was so funny. We took her into like the inventory room over there. And she goes, oh, wow. Yeah, you guys really do have a lot of inventory, huh? Dude, it was so funny, dude. I was dying. I was like, dude, grandparents are always so honest, you know? Like, they're just like, yeah, it looks like shit in here, dude. Like, damn, man, that sucks. Would you guys ever do a pallet?
No.
I would.
Why would you not, Steven?
Because you can't do just one. Because I couldn't hop on to Why Not and sell. If I tried to sell a golf pallet, I'd lose my ass on it, and I'd be pissed off, and I would never do it again. Now, if Rob could, if he got a whole golf pallet, or if I got a whole hat pallet, maybe but there's not enough good hats. Probably not. I'd have to totally switch business models, and if I switched it like that, I would do it. I don't think I could jump on Why Not and have a Target pallet and be even closely satisfied to what I walked away with making on that pallet, just doing it once. Now, if I had 10 pallets and I could start, get some traction and run 3 or 4 shows and do 100 or 200 items out of this pallet, maybe I would do it.
Yeah, if there's a guy.
Find the pallets I'm looking for, I'll do them.
I don't know if you guys get onto Whatnot really at all, like kind of early in the morning, but there's a guy on there, and I think he goes by like Texas Liquidation or it's something like that, but he always has like a couple hundred people in there, and he does most of the, actually all the ones that I've ever seen, he does shoes, and they're always like, you know, Birkenstocks and Hokas and, you know, all like stuff like that or whatever, and he has a giant warehouse that he's in, and
there's a lot of those people,
and they're not new.
Selling Mama.
They're not new shoes, but you know, some of them are a little a little more worn, I guess. They're not unwearable worn by any means, but you know, some of them look like they were worn one time or, you know, maybe tried on inside, you know what I mean? But, but I mean, he's on every morning that I get on there just to see what's kind of going on or whatever. And he has, you know, whatever four. I mean, dude, he in the Burke, cause I saw him cause he had a Birkenstock show and I was looking for the slides or whatever. Dude, there was like 500 or 600 people in there. And like, you know, I don't know what he would pay per unit for a Birkenstock pallet, but I mean, his average sale price had to have been like somewhere around $40-ish on there, if not more. You know, some of the ones, I don't know what the potato shoes look like or what even they're called, but those ones, he'd pop those up and, you know, they're $160 retails or something like that. You know, they would approach or if not get over $100, depending on the condition. So, you know, like I think he just does pallets constantly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would assume he's probably $20 to $30 in on most of those per pair.
You think so?
Would be my guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, your buy-in price on that is, you know, pretty significant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, but if you got that following and you got that steady sales.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but he's making some bank if he's got
the selling mama. The selling mama I watch, she does like Hoka's and New Balance and On Clouds. And I mean, just steady, break open this box, let's roll. And they are new without box and returns is what she's getting. So
yeah,
very clean, very good shoes, you know, maybe minimal sign of wear because they were tried on and brought back. But I mean, her medium sale price is probably, I think the average would be $50, $60, $70 in that range.
Yeah.
I mean, she's selling $120 shoes.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and then you're on for hours. She'll go through that whole entire Gaylord and just sell them all. I mean, hundreds of shoes a day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. I think it'd be fun. I'm not sure if that would be for me necessarily. I would get bored, I think. But yeah, if I was looking at it,
I think there's enough to it operationally that would keep you not bored.
Yeah, I love going out. So I would have a hard time with that being, you know, it. To me, if I did that, I could see it would be fun for a little bit, I think, because I'd be on there selling and chit-chatting, but I could see it turn. I would feel like it's much more of a job than I want it to feel like if I did that, you know, because it's a little bit more of a clock in, kind of clock out type of deal.
Oh, yeah. But, when you go that route, it's definitely that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't know if it would be for me. Would I do it? I'll do anything. But, you know, is it something that I would like necessarily pursue?
Could you imagine boxing 300 pairs of shoes?
I would be so bored, dude. I would be like, dude, this sucks. You know, like,
well, the people like out. We're talking about have people,
yeah, yeah.
Working for them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
not, you know,
really,
not,
like that would not, be the greatest. There's a guy on Whatnot, and I don't know what his name is, but he has like, dude, he has like 5 or 6 shows running at a time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like, I don't. I've watched he has a YouTube channel and I can't remember what it is, but he literally Chris. Does he have a giant warehouse and he has like some girls and guys that work for him?
San Francisco Chris, I can't think of his last name. Daily Refinement, yes. I think so.
Daily Refinement, yeah, you're right. Goes,
but yeah,
yeah, and you know, pallets are coming in. He's got you know 10 people or whatever that rip them for him, and they run shows literally every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know, I'm like, that would be sweet. Like, you know, once you got to that level, but because you didn't have to do anything, then you go to Bali, you know, go get sunburned, dude.
You know what I mean? Think that's something that guy had $2 clothing. I don't know if you've ever seen him, but he is insane with stuff.
Really?
And they are running all the time. $2 clothing.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
No, I've never seen him before. Yeah, I think it'd be fun. There's, we say this all the time. There's so many ways to do this thing, you know. Like, there's so many ways. It just depends on what you want to do. If you're about the nickel, then you know you can do that. You can you could do the pallet game or whatever. But yeah, I got to be out there with the Lions, dude. You know what I mean?
Exactly, Donnie. On eBay.
Who is it? Which one is he? Who's Donnie talking about?
Daily Refinement. He got kicked off of eBay.
Why?
He was selling really expensive shoes, and I think it was really more about eBay's trust and safety / the amount that he was selling. I don't know. I'm talking like $10,000 shoes or thousands of dollars of shoes he was selling, and I just don't think they would tolerate the risk of the amount of like inventory he had out at one time. I don't know. Some people think he's shady. I'm not here to place a judgment. I don't know. He got kicked off eBay. Do you know who Rockstar Flipper is? He was a big YouTube eBay guy probably 3 or 4 years ago as well. And him and the guy you're talking about got into it and had the squabble on eBay or on YouTube about how the Rockstar Flipper thought he was ripping people off and everything. It was a huge deal. That's why Tekken. It was huge. And that's why Tek and Daily Refinement, they were together to begin with, and they split up. Because it was Tek didn't really didn't really want to be with his kind of negative aura. We'll call it negative aura that was around Chris and Daily Refinement. So, there
Dang, you go. Dude, I love getting freaking backstory, dude, from the OGs. You know what I mean? Those like, dude, I don't know none of this shit, dude. I love hearing about bullshit that happens when it's like, bro, this should be the most stress-free, drama-free thing in the world, dude. Like, how can we possibly be upset with each other over used items that we're selling? You know, it just blows my mind. Yeah, I'm like, it's crazy, dude.
And that's why I really stopped watching. After that all happened, I stopped watching anything anybody really. I don't even do the YouTube thing anymore. I couldn't tell you if something has changed since then. I'll put out some YouTube videos, but I don't consume any reselling content since that point. I'm just I can do this. So much.
Yeah. I consume the shit, dude. I'm all you can eat buffet, dude. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, dude. I consume so much reselling content. Like, bro, I'm telling you right now, dude, if this ever makes its way to Robinhood or Goodwill, I swear to God, dude, if it was more socially acceptable, I'd kiss you on your mouth. And if you want to be the first guest on the pod, come on. Because that dude's my favorite guy in the world, dude. Steven's trying to hold it together, dude. Dude, he's the best guy ever, dude. Like, yeah.
I wish it could overlay it's like some man crush thing or something right now.
Oh, yeah. I've already talked about that, dude. Amanda thinks that I'm a little, you know what I mean? Like, dude, he's the man. If anybody out there wants to watch somebody that's awesome and that knows a shit ton about a shit ton of stuff, Robin Hood of Goodwill on YouTube. That guy picks up everything from freaking teapots to vintage teas to toasters to gold. Like, he's a wealth of knowledge, and he's just like super chill.
He's awesome. All right. Well, let's share some of our knowledge because I think it's about time.
Mellow Breakers, it's Bolo time. Track your favorite cash find. Raiders keep you.
Rob didn't email you this week.
I did email you this week.
I can hear it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, you're going first, Mike.
Me?
So I can maybe find Rob's email.
I got him here on my phone. It's not a big deal.
Okay. Sorry, I missed it.
No,
all right. That's fine. You guys have to remind me, if you guys can remember, did I show Plush like 2 weeks ago? Yes. Okay, I did. Okay.
I have no idea. I'm just kidding.
Wait, I don't remember if I did or not.
I have the memory of a gnat.
Steven, do you remember if I showed Plush?
I talked about Plush. I talked about
Big Comfy Couch. Do you guys remember me talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay. I did.
Okay.
I
yeah. You did show the Plush last week.
Okay. Okay. No problem. Well, shit. Let's see what's popping. All right. Here. since time, you guys saw this money. One. You guys saw this one here. We'll do. I picked up two of these last weekend, and I don't really know why the other one hasn't sold, frankly. But I picked up two of these last weekend. People get super scared to, or you know, whatever, discouraged about buying larger items because they don't want to ship them. That's super, super easy. But I got this Titleist, a freaking 14-weight cart bag. The cart bags are the ones that don't have the little freaking cake stands, right? And I listed it for $135. It sold for $105. And like, you know, whatever. Like I said, I take offers all the time. I don't give a shit. I'll get it gone. I paid $10 for two of them.
Make an offer.
Yeah. If you guys, well, there's another one up there. If you guys see these out, the Titleist cart bags have like 120% sell through rate or something like that. They all sell very quickly. The cooler the, you know, color or whatever, the better it'll go. Pro tip on shipping bigger items like this out, golf specifically, if you go to your local pro shop, I have an actual local pro shop in Jack's Beach that I'll go to for all my club boxes. They charge me $4 a box, I think, or something like that. And so for golf bags, if you live in a bigger city, you probably have a PGA store in your city. I always go to the PGA store. They're the coolest people in the world. They'll give you either the U-line boxes, which I don't like the most because they're 36x5x5. And that's like a $60 UPS ship or something like that. It's like $38 or $40 via FedEx. But if you can catch them before they put their boxes in the compactor, they'll give you what these come in anyway. You know what I mean? Like their actual boxes, which are usually smaller. They're usually like 35 or 36 inches tall, and they'll be like by 4 inches wide or something like that. So it'll be a little bit better. It's just a good way to go in there, and they'll give them to you for free. The second one, and I think I feel like I've said this before, so I apologize if this is a repeat, but this is a vintage little girl's denim, what are they called, dress or whatever, or like a little romper or something like that, dress. It sold for $40 and pretty fast as well. This one's Animal Cracker, so it's a little bit, you know, less tier or whatever. If you go on eBay and do a little bit of research, you will find that denim skirts and denim dresses for little girls, and denim overalls for little boys, if they are, you know, Nickelodeon, if they are, you know, some of the big like 90s and early 2000s, and even maybe a little bit before that, the big cartoons, I'm talking $200. Like there are some insane kids clothes that you'll find. So those two are super good. Denim skirts, dude, are just freaking popping. So, and these are the last two. I don't pick up coins. These are the first coins I've ever picked up in my life. I didn't look them up. They were just, I got them for like $2 or whatever I did. And also at the flea market last weekend. And they were these freaking silver coins. The sell price is not crazy. It won't knock your socks off or anything. But when I say these literally sold in 5 minutes, they literally sold in 5 minutes. So they're just, ounce? Yeah, they're 0.9, not they're, yeah, yeah, 1 troy ounce or whatever. So,
That's about spot at, price. The spot price on silver right now is between $35 and $40, and you sold them almost right at spot price.
Yeah, so I sold one for $35 and one for $40. Or
next time you get
one for $30,
just call me next time you get some silver.
Don't, I have a silver coin.
Okay.
So, but they are the 1 troy ounce. I mean, they did sell.
Don't be giving them deals on eBay.
The buy-in price is so low that
you call me boy.
Well, you said that they sold for exactly what they're worth, right?
Well, kind of. It depends.
Day to day.
Yeah, American Eagles, and I'd have to look at exactly what it is. I'm not the most biggest silver connoisseur either, but I will buy silver coins, and usually American Eagles are a little bit over spot price.
Yeah, I did see the American Eagle ones, and these ones weren't. Tell you that they weren't, because I did see the American Eagle. ones that they sold for actually some pretty good money.
Yeah. Yeah, they can be all over the place.
Yeah.
I collect a little silver.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I don't tell many people that. Now I just told the whole world. There you go.
Yeah. Doors get kicked in.
Doors get kicked in. That's literally stuff. I do want to say.
So everybody's aware, Steven keeps the silver right next to his 9mm. Yeah. So, just so you know.
It's true.
You get shot. You might get some silver and some lead.
There was one more that I wanted to show that I can't find, but it's fine. If I see it, I'll come back to it.
Hey, Michael, when you get those 14 ways or in bags like that, when you get specifically the 14 ways, if you check to see if they are separated all the way down, that's going to bring extra money.
Okay.
Because the dividers go all the way from the top to the bottom.
Instead of just having the little cap.
Instead of just having them, where they can mix together. But the 14 ways with the full dividers will be a little bit more money for you.
Okay. I'm almost positive that these ones just had the cap.
Those Titleist brand that you had, sent in the text, they were older. They would be not fully divided.
Damn, but that kind of bums me out because there was one that I saw earlier that I'm pretty sure they had it all the way down, but it's fine. So yeah, if I find this other one in a little bit, I'll show it to you.
All right. Well, I guess I'll take my turn. Going with some electronics. Steven, this may be right up your alley, Mr. Electronics guy.
I think I got it. I got it.
Oh, you got it?
I found it.
The Oppo?
This
Oppo Blu-ray players, as you can see, sales on these are ridiculous. There are a zillion models. I did not want to narrow it down to just one. As you can see right here, you got a 203 at top, you got a 105 there in the middle. That's a 3D player. And then you have a 203 4K there at the bottom. But I mean, we're talking about a comma on each one of those almost. So, and I will tell you this.
OPPO. That's how you spell it.
I've never heard of that. How have I never heard of this?
142% sell through rate.
Damn.
As of today.
What makes that thing a grail? Like, I don't get that.
I'm gonna assume it's the brand.
Unreal.
Because other Blu-ray players didn't stand up to that these prices. Oppo was the top of the line right there. So I've got to assume it's because of who makes it. On the lookout.
No joke.
And then the second one, we've all heard about the Labubus. I bring to you the Zamomo. Let me give you a little knowledge here. Okay. The Labubus are like this big. Okay. Like this is a pop. And the Labubus are like this. They're about the same size as the pop. Okay. And they're little. The Labubus are actually the girls. This thing here is about 2.5 feet tall. And it is the boy of the little monsters. There's different ones. The big one right now is the angel that you see right there at the bottom. The bottom two are the angel. It's called Angel and Clouds is what the name of it is. There's bottom two. If you find these son of bitches, or if you get a chance to buy them to resell them, those are going to be the profits you realize right there.
What in the world?
So is this the cousin of a Labubu or what?
No, it is the boy. The Labubus are the girls.
Okay.
The Zamomo, and that's why they're little. And the Zamomo is like 2 feet tall, and they're the boys.
Okay.
Because they're actually called the Monsters. That's what the line is. It's the line of the Monsters. And the Labubus are little girls, and these damn Zamomo things are big boys.
Now you know. I would have never known. And that stuff is so hot.
How do you know that, Rob? Like, what? What?
I just know things.
How did you learn that?
About the Zomomo? Well, my wife's dragged me into the Labubu world. Literally right now, there's cases of Labubu sitting downstairs on my couch. And cases. They show up in my cases, yeah. So the thing is, you have to go on this app called Pop Mart to get these things. And they have releases that happen like that. You got to be there and ready to grab it. And 99 times out of 100, you won't get it. So there's a secret way to do it. I'm not going to divulge that here because somebody else will get my case then. But you could buy a case of six for like 180 all in, delivered to your door. And then they're going to sell for like $60 to $75 each, depending on which one it is. They're called blind boxes because you don't know what's inside the box.
Damn.
So the Zomomos are a little different because you know which one you're buying because it's so big and there's not as many of them. And it's all this crazy shit that's on Pop Mart.
Do they put those Zomomos on their belt buckle too? Hang it down to their knees? It's like the Labubus they put on their belt, don't they?
And you see the memes where they're walking around with Labubus like this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know, dude. I see them hanging from their freaking bull rings, dude.
They hang them from their nose?
Hey, wait a second. I switched to the right hand side of the screen. What happened?
I don't know.
There's just girls that put it on their golf bags. Some of the pro golf girls have it on their bags.
Yeah, that's totally not cool.
You don't like being on the ring?
All right.
Not cool, dude.
Get fired up as a boo-boo so he can
Dude, I need one. I need one. Do they have one? Do they have any that look like me, dude?
Dude, they're all monsters. Of course they all look like you.
Monsters Inc., dude.
Oh, anyway, let me tell you. Wait a minute, hold on. The sell-through rate on the Zomomos, 161% right now.
It's really good.
It's really there good. You go. Yeah, those are what $160.
Hey, Rob, if you buy those on Pop Mart, what are they going for on Pop Mart? Do you know?
Each one of them costs you somewhere around $30-$35. The Zomomos, I don't know.
Oh.
The Zomomos, I don't know. I haven't tried to buy one of those, but I think they're probably around $85 to $125. I would guess in that range.
Unreal.
So if you
but it's more about the ability to be able to get your hands on it. It's not like you could just log on and I want this one. Get it.
Yeah.
You gotta sit there and wait for the damn thing. Yeah, you gotta wait for the release and then you better beat out however many thousands of people are trying to beat you out.
There's probably a bunch of bots and stuff like that, just like with the sneakers.
Guarantee you there's bots running all day long on that app.
Yeah.
That's probably what Rob's secret was, and you just let the cat out of the bag. He probably has a bot farm over there. He's probably got one of those racks that have like 100 phones on it.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Rob doesn't live in Maryland. He lives in freaking India.
You can't see any of that, can you?
Oh, geez. That's hilarious. What do you got for us, Steven?
Bot farm. I don't have a bot farm. I have. Let me.
You want to rent one?
So I've been waiting for this toy to sell because I've been wanting to talk about, because we talked about toys, and here is. This was
dirt cheap.
Dirt cheap dungeons are not dirt cheap. I had it listed for $149, and some of them sold $130, $140. But I'm the same way as you. Somebody sent me a $100 offer. And I took it. And this was basically, I found it at the bins. Nobody else opened up the bag. It was in that bag at the bins. And I just picked up that bin or that bag. And I was like, man, I bet this is expensive. And then, it was $149. So you can play some Dungeons and Dragons. It had these little pieces in it to set up like a dungeon. It had this, they were like gray where you could set up a cool little dungeon. And there was about 1,000 pieces in that one box. It was really cool.
Did you list that as complete, or did you know or not know?
I put in the description. I was like, I don't know how many pieces it was supposed to have, but it has a thousand. It has a bunch of pieces. I said, here's what it looks like. I did not count them all. I was just like, I don't know how many it started with, but there are a bunch in here, and you won't be disappointed.
Nice.
You've That's played really cool. Dungeons and Dragons to your heart's content.
That's really cool. I Those are like the little hidden grails, you know, because there's not a lot of like board games or whatever that are that especially like the modern ones that you come across that are really worth like some really good money. Those are hard to find.
All right, I got one more, I think. Maybe not. Did I talk? I've talked about these already, I think. Oh, that might have been the only one I had this week.
No.
Well, I've talked about these. For you.
I think I talked about these already. This Vista earbuds, if you find them, I sold them again in like 5 minutes. $40 for one pair, $45 for the other pair.
Nice.
I forgot to download the other one. My bad. What else did you have, Rob?
Oh, I got a follow-up for you. Here you go. The Zomomo is 22.8 inches tall. Here's a view of him next to a MacBook.
Damn.
That's for size reference. And then here he is.
He's almost 2 feet.
There's his cost. This one costs $199.
Can you buy it?
No, it says out of stock. And then this one's this one is 85. Depends on which line it is, but here's what you see when you log in. Out of stock.
Yeah.
Out of stock.
So they're going about on eBay, they're going for about twice as much as they are on the website.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
That's a good flip. That's a good flip if you can get your hands on it.
Yeah, because I think that Angel one's probably going to be around $199 or something like that. That one's very popular from what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a – damn.
But, I mean, if you're That's doubling crazy. Your money at a 161% sell-through rate, let's go. Sign me up.
This is what I wanted to show right here.
Mike's got to try and keep ready.
I wanted to show you guys. Are you done, Steven?
Yeah.
All right. I showed the boys this before the pod, and I haven't got these cleaned and listed yet because I got them last weekend, but I've been busy this week. So I found these at the flea market last weekend, and obviously I had to look them up because they look so ridiculous. Anytime you find something ridiculous and it feels good quality, I'm like, I got to look it up. So I end up finding out that these are made by Adidas. These are Adidas. Like I said, they're still dirty, but they're Adidas. And that name right there is Rick Owens. So Rick Owens did a collab with Adidas. And like I said, I haven't cleaned or listed those yet, but here's just some of the comps for not this exact pair, but just for Adidas Rick Owens shoes on the Bay. So they're like all, you know, I think those ones are probably the ones that I have somewhere like that, something similar, or these ones, something similar. But they're, you know, anywhere from like $100 to like, you know, let me look at this. Freaking $1,500 for that pair of shoes. So if you find, and like, honestly, a lot of them have like, you know, if you look, a lot of them have like really interesting kind of designs to them. You know, I mean, they all kind of look pretty funky. So,
have you seen a pair that's your style?
No, there's a listed pair that's my style. Well, this one actually looks, I mean, that one basically looks exactly like it.
Yeah.
Those ones, this is a sold comp for 290 American.
Is that where you're gonna come in at? $300 or $400?
Nah, I'll probably come in at like $200 and get them going. Because I mean, like, I'm not gonna like the sale, like, so they're for just Adidas Rick Owens shoes, period. There's 25 solds and 163 listed. So it's not like, you know, it's not gonna blow you away. But right. You come in, you undercut the market. I paid $7 for these, I believe. So
get them going.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's my philosophy on basically everything. Just sit there and undercut the market and big on when you're buying prices that low. So, yeah, those ones are cool. Just really interesting design. They feel good quality. The Adidas stamp on these, like, and I don't know if these are going to all be the same, but the Adidas stamp on them is super, you know, it's right there. So like the inside doesn't have it. It does have the, well, you can see the tag right there. So it does have the tag on there that has the QR code that you can scan and then it brings you to the site. But when you're just looking at them, the Adidas stamp is just super faint right at the bottom right there. So, yeah, I just thought they were cool. And like, I'm not the biggest shoe guy in the world. There's not a lot of shoes that I pick up and sell, for no particular reason. Just, you know, it's not something that I generally look for, but when shit looks that interesting, it's usually, you know, they'll do all right. So.
All right. I think it's about time for the giveaway.
We didn't even rank anything. Are we not ranking anything?
We'll rank it next time.
All right.
We're almost an hour and a half in.
Yep. We are?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, dude, time flies when you're talking shit with the bros. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think
all right.
Next episode, we'll definitely get into the eBay updates that came out. I'll give you a little hint of what some of them were. The AI, they launched a new AI tool. And then there's also, they enhanced their seller protection and changed their feedback a little bit, which was pretty interesting on the feedback, the way that they're going to do it differently. So that'll definitely be a great topic to talk about next time.
I sure hope we can use the finger emoji to respond.
Do you guys think that we should be able to leave buyers negative feedback, correct? Do you hate that idea, or is that, I mean, does it seem right that we can only leave a buyer positive? If our experience was not positive, then why can we only leave the buyer positive? You know, like you should know.
There should be a way to warn other sellers about a buyer.
Yeah.
Whether it's negative or I don't know. I think so. I mean, and I guess it's how much do you think eBay is really policing these buyers? Are they really coming down on them that do abusive things? I'm with you, Rob. I doubt they are. They're just fine with the next transaction.
Yes. All the platforms are going to be the same. It's about the buyer, not the seller. There's a, if you lose one seller today, you'll sign up 10 tomorrow.
Yeah, but you don't want that. You don't want it to get, which it probably never will. It's such a massive marketplace, but you don't want it to get to where it's such a bad experience for a seller that they don't want to go and sell there. You know,
that's already happened. There's tons of people that are so dissatisfied with different platforms that they
want. But there's still, you know, it's the best place to sell. It doesn't matter.
And that doesn't change the fact that there are sellers that will never sell there because of their experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that we should be able to be like, hey, this guy sucks.
They're not going to ever let you put any kind of animosity out there. They're not going to ever let you say or anything negative against a buyer.
Yeah.
It's the same
way. I don't really care that much, but
it's the same way on Whatnot.
We can't even leave buyer feedback, can we?
Without even been asked about the situation. And then, I mean, it's perfectly, all they had to do is look at the track and it's in the mail.
It's on its way.
I did what I had to do.
I'm saying you did.
That's why my wife was like, you really clapped back at him? I said, sure did. I want to know why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You got the wrong.
You can't get this in trouble.
I'm out of pocket.
Yeah. I know.
I even had to pay to ship that shit to the foreign filler, so screw him.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a problem. That is a problem. Listen, dude, if you guys want to get in the giveaway, drop a comment. Drop something sweet in there.
Here's what we're going to do next. If you made it this far, anybody that comments on this video, we're going to put you onto the wheel for the next giveaway as well. So
I like that.
If you're watching this, or if you're watching this back and you made it this far, drop a comment on this video. Anything, how you doing? We love you. Fired up. You're the man. Shave your head. Or fired up. Whatever.
Wiener, nuts, firecracker, fire truck, yeah. And golf cart. Yes.
Or drop a golf cart. Any comment. Yeah,
drop a rocket surgery comment.
Yeah. We'll put you in the giveaway for the next one. And it's Rob's turn, so you don't know. It might be some killer stuff. Like we got a vintage Cowboys hat this week. So
it may be something from – just saying.
I don't know what that is.
Tokyo.
Tokyo. Yeah, that's what I'm
talking about.
Dude, it might be a freaking some ramen or something, you know?
I might give away a silver coin or something. I don't know. It's actually spot price on silver is $38.
Five cut the hair for Mike. He's going to shave his head.
No, head. I will say this. If we can get – what's a good amount? What do you think is a good amount?
20?
You think 20? If we can – I'm not joking when I say this. If we can get 25 is fair because we're probably not going to get that. 25, shave my head on this video for before our pod next week. All my life, Amanda and I will shave it on the pod. I'm not joking when I say that.
Everybody, I've got two votes right here. I got to get everybody.
It's got to be.
Come on. Yeah. You got to do it, guys. Everybody out there in podcast land, everybody on YouTube land, get on the YouTube video, but shave that head so we can get this done.
Yes.
All right. Let me pull up the wheel for this week.
All right. We're ripping Deadstock Drew Pearson. And NFL right season is coming around. NFL There's season right is coming there. Around. It has to be on the YouTube. Does this come up as the YouTube comments?
No, you have to wait till the video is over and then post a comment.
Yeah, it has to be on the YouTube video comments. So go back in 10 minutes and redo it. Rack up 25, dude. We'll go bald. I'm not scared.
I don't know why is my screen showing?
Yeah, it's showing earbuds.
Earbuds.
Showing earbuds, yeah.
What earbuds?
Dude, it's showing you.
The Jaybird Vista.
Dude, it's showing you in a bath towel, but the bath towel is up on your – but, dude, the bath towel is on your head, dude. What is going on, dude?
Stop screen.
Oh.
Share screen.
DA said shave my head.
Is it working now?
Yep, click to spin.
Okay.
And then some little tiny OnlyFans just came up on the left.
Whoa. Damn, I just dropped somebody's hat.
All right, here we go. We ready?
Don't you drop my hat.
All right, dude. Who's ripping?
Who is in the big D?
We have a blank spot. Tony! Dude, we got a new winner!
A new winner!
We got a new winner, Tony!
Tony!
Yeah, dude, let's go.
Tony's taking home the vintage hat.
Congrats, let's go, Tony. Dude.
Congrats.
Dude, everybody's so lucky that that Logic Z wasn't in the chat tonight because it gives everybody a fair shot. Tony.
You have Tony's info?
Yeah. Tony, DM me on Instagram, same name, your address, and I'll get it out to you. I will get it out to you much faster than Rob got out Amanda's cup. So.
Wow.
Donnie will have a...
Wow.
Should have his in a couple of days. So,
heck yeah, dude. All right, guys. Tony's a beast.
Shave that head in the comments after the video is over. We're going to see it. And then next week after that, we'll do shave that mustache and we'll just have a complete sum of a man.
Literally 1 million comments, and I will do that. 1 million.
1 million.
I haven't shaved this mustache in 5.5 years. Or shit, probably close to 6 years. I will never shave this.
Hey, we could get him to do the old Logie Joe thing where he does the peels off the. You know what I'm talking about? He did the.
Okay, listen. First of all, Rob's trying to get me
reference.
Rob's trying to get me shirtless, which is already sus.
He did the old wax on the chest and ripped off the hair.
Oh, no way, dude.
Yeah, that dude's probably as hairy as you are.
Hey, how do you know how hairy? Whoa, wait a second. How do you know how hairy I am?
You have said it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Dude, that's why you can't wear white. Hey, guys, I promise. It's not what it seems. It's not what it seems. I'm telling you right now. Right. Oh, my gosh.
Time to hang up.
All right,
appreciate
fellas.
Everybody for hanging out today. You made it all the way to the hairy end. Until next time, we talk everything eBay to whatnot. We'll see you guys.
And waxing bodies. Let's go.